This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Clemson's Pro Day, by the way, from Tiger Town, follows us at 10 o'clock this morning. And maybe with an early word on that event, plus a full basketball recap of last night's win by the beloved alma mater, let's go live, shall we, friends, to Clemson, South Carolina, where we find Jordan Cornette. Good morning, Mr. Cornette.
Fellas, happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. How you feeling today, Pack? I see those new shoes there, Pack. I saw the camera slide in. Did you call for that shot to show off those that feet heat there?
No, man.
You're looking good, Pack. I like that.
No, these aren't new. These are part of my wellness program, my man. I am down 34 pounds walking in these pups right here. How about that?
Wow, what's the secret, bro? Fill me in.
You know what I do? I stopped eating pizza at 5:30 in the morning. That's what I started doing.
That's not right.
Inside joke for those watching right now.
That's not right.
It's not funny. Funny inside joke.
No, it's not funny at all. Okay, let's do a little. Hey, just envision you're at the desk and we're doing a little basketball rap here. Double overtime. Had them all the way last night. Never in doubt. Irish were going to win. What caught your eye about Notre Dame's victory against Rutgers last night in double overtime?
The fact that they shot so poorly from three. And they were able to still get it done. And it wasn't defensively where they were able to get it done either. It was the toughness offensively. 58 points in the paint. Paul Atkinson, Ivy League guy, are you kidding me? Toughest guy on the floor. And to me, it was the way that they were able to figure it out. Because it wasn't traditional Notre Dame, bomb you out from the three-point line. Although they did shoot a good percentage from the field. Lion's share of that inside the arc. But defensively, they weren't really getting the stops either. They're getting beat up on the backboard, but they found a way. And they got away from Paul Atkinson down the stretch in regulation, which was a little head-scratching to me, but they went back to him down the stretch, and he was the difference. I just love that we're talking about a Notre Dame team that won in the paint, scoring the basketball. Says to me it's a mature group that could figure out a bunch of ways to do it. Nate Leshefsky's not getting enough love. Finishing with 18 points in that game, coming off the bench, was massive.
Jordan, that's what I said when we led off the show today. I said to Wes, if you told me that Notre Dame was going to shoot 31% from three, 56% from the free throw line, get out-rebounded by eight, only make six threes, I'd have told you they got smoked, and they win the game in double overtime. I thought it was a great win. It was a great basketball game for folks that stayed up late. And, you know, we expect March Madness, the buzzer beaters, and all that kind of stuff. That game had a little bit of everything last night. It was a great win for not only Notre Dame, but also the ACC.
Yeah, Pack, and I'll tell you, I don't even know if there's a question in there or more of a statement. But, right. What I will say about it is I want to do the Jameis Winston where he licks the fingers and shows you five. I won't do that because it's too early in the morning, and honestly, it's not a very appealing visual. But I will say is the number five is massive in this one because five turnovers. That's the five giveaways from the Irish. That's the beauty of Notre Dame basketball, and they will always present that no matter who they're going against. The fact that they're able to take care of the basketball and give their offense a shot. So yeah, they're not making threes, but they are scoring in the inside. And yeah, maybe they're not defending or maybe they're not rebounding, but they're gonna give themselves an opportunity. And you'll see this throughout the tournament. Teams that are sped up, teams that feel the pressure, and teams that maybe traditionally take care of the basketball quite simply don't in this thing because they feel the elimination process staring them in the face. Notre Dame was still able to stay in character to the foundation of their success. No matter what happens in a game, that group always takes care of the basketball, and that's what was a huge difference in this one as well. So that number five looms large in the win in double overtime.
All right, are the Irish a better team now from having played like better and seeing a team that hasn't taken the floor in an NCAA tournament game like Alabama? On Friday, somehow or another, I think Notre Dame benefits from having played the 50 minutes last night, Jordan.
Yeah, you know, I always lean into, and I wonder if we went back historically and looked at something like this. Brian Ives, where are you when I need you? The elite researcher and producer. But I always love the teams that have something in front of them that have faced attrition or that have already been battle-tested. We see it in conference tournaments all the time. But I look at the field, and I look at, like, an LSU going outside of our conference, a group that has a guy in Will Wade who's no longer their head coach, and people count him out against Iowa State. I think you'll see the best performance from them. Indiana out of the Big Ten having issues traveling. People counting Indiana out because they've already played and they've had the travel issues out there in Portland. I love Indiana to get it done. I think the fact that when 18 to 22-year-olds have to key in and be more focused than ever and play with a sense of urgency because they're facing so many obstacles, it's when you get their best effort. So I like the fact that Notre Dame's played once, understand what it's like, the jitters of this thing, because mind you, outside of Paul Atkinson, none of those guys have played in the NCAA tournament. I think you see a better Blake Wesley, which will be huge. Paul Atkinson will deliver what he always does, and an older group will fly out there to San Diego and head to a Wales – oh, I can't say that part. San Diego and play great basketball.
Let's fast forward to this afternoon. North Carolina Marquette. It's an 8-9 game. North Carolina does have some major advantages, including rebounding the basketball versus what Marquette can offer. What do you think happens in this game?
I wish I could tell you. Who can peg North Carolina? If North Carolina plays competent basketball on the perimeter and consistently establishes Armando Bacot, I love North Carolina. I think North Carolina is talented enough to go on a Final Four run. I believe in that group this much. I think Armando Bacot's going to deliver what he does. I look at not so much Caleb Love now as I do R.J. Davis as the X factor for this group. And if R.J. Davis can consistently knock down shots, take care of the basketball, manage the game alongside Caleb Love, I think R.J. Davis is the X factor for Carolina. We don't say that enough. I am in this one, but I am very high on UNC in their first-round matchup.
I think we said it at the top of the show. R.J. Davis has to be able to drive the ball in order to free everybody else up. Can he do that against Marquette? I think he can, but at the same time, you know, Jordan, simplicity here. It's a make-or-miss situation for Carolina. If he drives the ball, Carolina's going to get open looks, right?
And doesn't that scare you when you talk about an NCAA tournament? I mean, the jitters, they do present themselves. They rear their ugly head. I mean, look at the Irish shooting 31% from beyond the arc. I hate picking teams based on the ability to knock down three-point shots. It makes me uncomfortable. But what I do like about this is at least you have Armando Bacot, and you have a group that can hurt you on the backboard. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Brady Manick has been playing lights-out basketball, and I like an X-factor like that as well. I talked about R.J. Davis being the question mark. It's just because I'm such a consistent believer in their front line and how dynamic they are. But, yeah, if you're going to lean on shot-making to carry you through – you should have some trepidation when it comes to the tournament because those teams usually don't deliver as you would want from the perimeter.
All right. Before we pivot to Clemson's pro day here with you, we got to go back a couple days here. I want to bring you up to speed on a history lesson that was conducted before the game last night by Mike Bray at Media Day in Dayton. Here we go.
So this is my fifth Rutgers basketball coach that I will coach against. The only program that's had more coaches in my tenure is Notre Dame football. They've had six.
How good is that? Huh? Hey, come on.
The guy's the best. Hey. The guy's the best. Let me just tell you this. Any college basketball analyst out there that feels comfortable about their job, you better hope Coach Bray stays in the business of coaching for a long time because he's taking everybody's gig.
Right.
He's somewhere right now sipping on Irish whiskey headed out west. And I think isn't that everybody's American dream right now,
especially
on St. Patrick's Day? Maybe follow it up with some pizza pack if they're doing things right.
That's right.
But, yeah, Coach Bray's incredible. But, I mean, he is – they – have gotten so lucky with that guy there at Notre Dame. I mean, Digger Phelps laid the foundation for Notre Dame basketball. He is Notre Dame basketball, will always be, and he's a great mentor and friend of mine. But what Coach Bray's been able to take with that program, been able to raise it back up to prominence, to be able to do it with the limited resources they do have, to now them having legitimate resources and facilities, all because of what he's done.
Right.
I text him after every big win. I text him the same thing last night. I said, don't you effing leave. Please don't ever leave. These Maryland rumors, retirement, the NBA, TV, don't do it, man. We need you. The future, all of a sudden, after about the midway point of this season, feels incredibly bright.
All right. Let me run this off here real quick because I'd like to chronicle this for history, just so we know. Bob Davey, George O'Leary, yes, that counts. Ty that Willingham. Counts. I'm leaving Kent Bear, who was the interim when Willingham was let go with three games left in the season, off the list, okay? I'll leave Kent Bear off the list. Charlie Weiss, America's football coach.
God bless him.
Brian Kelly, and now Marcus Freeman. Those are the six coaches.
You know what? The Kent guy, I did not even know that one.
Kent Bear? The Kent Bear administration was three games. Let's go.
What was the record, Wes?
I think he was 1-2, actually. I think he was 1-2 as the interim.
He's just lying. He's totally making that up.
I'll check it right now, Clem. I know this much. I'm sorry. He coached one game. He was 0-1.
I know this much. If he was in a major bowl game, you lost it.
Absolutely. How about that?
Why did I sign up to do this today? I'm around good people here.
Because you love us. You love our show.
We got the worst Clemson alum of all time here talking to me. What's going on?
Let me give you a positive, though. Your boy Bray, he knocks out Alabama. He ties Digger Phelps of all-time NCAA tournament wins for Notre Dame.
Yeah,
There's a good one. There is a nugget for you.
How about that?
Yeah.
That puts it in perspective.
How about that?
And you know what that gets you, Jordan, if you do that? You get two permanent seats in the end zone. You can come talk to officials before the game starts.
There you go. You know what? I will say this, too. I do want to add this because the ACC has been getting kicked around this whole season. To me, I feel like that win versus Rutgers, an ACC over Big Ten win to kickstart this thing, makes me feel pretty darn confident that we could have the Pac-12 vibes from a year ago where nobody was giving that conference any love. They really showed well in the tournament, and the narrative started to shift. I would love to see that for this conference. Notre Dame getting it done kickstarts what I think is going to be a special weekend for our conference.
Well, we just had three ACC teams win last night in postseason play, which matches – the three that won a postseason game a year ago, which was, again, NC State and NIT, Florida State and Syracuse. And, of course, we're just getting started. So there's always great narratives, but to change a narrative, Jordan, as you well know, you must win. It's the only way to do it.
Survived advance, best time of the year. It's what it's all about, except today. It's actually about, you know, the future and the NFL and these guys we got coming
all right,
here. So
now,
I gotta be quiet talking about all this basketball. They don't care about that today.
Since you are the talented host of the Huddle, you and Eric McClain today guide us through the pro day at Clemson. It's expected to be a bit of a who's who in the NFL, by the way, on hand. And there's a reason Clemson follows Georgia, whose pro day was yesterday in Athens. Tigers are today, and it's funny how those two programs kind of do it in consecutive days to help themselves with the league. What are you looking forward to seeing the most today when that event begins at 10 o'clock?
You know, it's unfortunate. Andrew Booth still dealing with injury. We won't get a chance to really see him, a first-round talent. But I'm really excited to see Justin Ross, just for the fact that we didn't see him. We haven't seen him very much. And for us to get a look at him and see what he's able to do for this group, in front of this group today, I want to see his measurables. I want to see how he performs out there. I believe, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, Taj Boyd's going to be throwing the football today. That is confirmed, the Clemson legend. I kind of want to see what Taj Boyd still has left in the tank throwing a football. But I think Justin Ross's ability to be a second-round guy, maybe all the way down to a fourth-round guy, I think we'll have a lot of questions answered with his ability. I happen to think he should be a high second round guy. Look forward to him showing in front of guys like Mike Tomlin representing the Steelers today. Brian Flores, a part of that staff too, an impressive guy as we all know, as well as all the other NFL teams having representatives here. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Mario Goodrich is another one of those guys I'm really looking at. Baylen Spector as well. These were the senior day combine guys as well. So those are the headliners, no question.
All right. By the way, any eyeball test you can give us on Tigers coming back for 22, Packard like that update, you know, offline later today.
I already got my sources. I'm good.
Packer's got some sources saying the Tigers are ready. Okay.
I do want to give you this one. DJ Uiagalelei, how many pounds has he lost, D-Mac? 20 pounds. I mean, he looks incredible. He looks like a different guy, and he looked really confident throwing the football. I get it. It's only practice, but the body looks different. I think that goes a long way for a guy like DJ in his rise back to showing people the kind of talent he is and can be. That was the most eye-popping thing yesterday. I'm sure EMAC will go long talking about a million other things. Quite honestly, I'm just glad he's here. Slept through his 8 a.m. alarm. We watched the Notre Dame game through double overtime. I'm a professional. I was here early. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. I guess EMAC thinks if you're not 35 minutes late, then you're early. Yeah. I don't really know how that goes, but I'm happy he's here.
Yeah, but he's got very the key happy. To the he's
got the key to the condo.
When you got the key,
you're going to tackle people. You got the key to the condo down there, Eric.
You got to understand.
Eric's got the condo key. Yeah.
Can't believe this guy was all conference. That's how he hits. I mean, I should have played football. It's unbelievable. I should have played football. I don't know what I was doing here.
You know,
it's unbelievable.
Right, I will tell you.
The segment is over. We'll talk to you at 9:45.
They can't hear your
Jordan's
mic.
10-minute affair.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. No. Jordan's still looking at us.
Burnett needs to understand those Notre Dame jokes in football at Clemson don't go over.
Tell you what,
well.
I got an idea. I got an idea. There's 2 weeks coming up, late May and early June, where I think Cornette and McLean can fill the gap for us, Pack. I really do. All right, okay, Jordan, be well.
It'll
talk
be
to
a
you.
Boxing match every single day. Guys, all wish me luck.
Second most prominent Notre Dame alum to join the show in this hour, Jordan Cornette, ladies and gentlemen, because Neil Ivey joins us at 9:30.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Don't forget ACC baseball coming your way. We're into conference series on the weekends, and number 6, Notre Dame. Hey, what? Link Jarrett's got a nice ball club again,
sure
Pat.
Sure does. Yep. Excellent.
And this is a good series. Jim Patterson Stadium in Louisville, Friday night, 7 o'clock, the Irish and the Cards. And then, well, it's Duke Carolina, kids. DBAP this weekend for Scott Forbes and Chris Pollard's teams hooking up. Number 15, Tar Heels and the Blue Devils, live from the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, Saturday night, 6 o'clock.
Heels getting off to a good start, too.
Yep. ACC Network, your home, a great ACC baseball.
So, Virginia went double digits again yesterday, and I tell you, the Hoos are hitting the ball, too, man. They're rocking it.
NC State held off Elon.
2-1 the other day.
Yeah, Latham Field, the site of that.
And our man, Tommy White, still got quiet. He went nuts, right? 9 homers, 8 games, or whatever that was.
Mike Kennedy had the Phoenix ready for the Wolfpack visit. Kept it low.
Solid loss.
Hey, easy now.
It
Come
was.
On now.
It's like I said the other
Kennedy
second ago.
Always, Kennedy
Don't
always,
be offended by the truth.
Kennedy always uses those midweek to examine his bullpen, look at his rotation, see where he wants to get once the – he knows the way the tournament's a colonial.
Don't be offended by the truth.
Not offended. 2-1. It's a good loss.
So I just said. It was a solid loss. It's exactly what I said.
Anyway. All right. Last night, over on the SEC Network, kids.
Ooh, this was a good game.
I mean, we told you yesterday afternoon, when we left this show, we said tonight there would be big league softball. It was a big league last night.
These are two, not good, great programs.
Yep.
Big time.
Bottom line is this. Florida State went on the road last night and took the hammer with them. Sidney Sherrill is still playing at Florida State.
Now, you wondered if anybody could get a hit in this game.
That's true, too.
A lot more offense than I thought.
Yeah, Montana Fouts, Kat Sandercock last night in the circle for their teams, and it was a terrific game. Florida State a winner last night.
They eliminated Alabama last year in the tournament, and what is it now, 6 straight they've beaten Alabama?
Yeah, they got 5 runs in the last 2 innings to beat the Tide last night, 6-5. They are 25-1.
Legit. They're both really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good. The league is really good. I mean, again, we got Duke and Clemson this weekend.
Yeah.
We have Virginia Tech ranked in the top 10. You got 4 in the top 15 in softball from the ACC.
John Rittman and Marissa Young, inside of 5 years, have built national-type teams, like teams that can contend to get to the Women's College World Series, that kind of deal. Inside 5 years.
Legit.
Yeah.
League's good, man.
Really it is good.
But Florida State could be special good.
Great win last night for Florida State on the road in Tuscaloosa. And in the world of softball, that one right there will get you a ways. That'll do some things. Neil Ivey coming up here in moments.
Appreciate the SEC Network putting that game on last night.
Yeah.
I was able to enjoy that between Notre Dame hoops winning and Florida State winning.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Finally found where True TV is again.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Took a while.
That's right.
Took a while.
But you got there. You got there.
Yep.
Do you line up the channels for the next?
I got it figured out.
Got
it totally memorized.
Way to go. Let's get you to the NIT last night. 2 wins for the ACC. We're going to go to Charlottesville first. Is that okay with you, sir?
Sure, absolutely.
Virginia beat Mississippi State 60-57. Bulldogs, the Maroon Dogs, wearing the white jersey. Supposed to be a home game for them. They had something going on at the Hump in Stark, Vegas. So Virginia hosted this one last night. Cavaliers in the Navy. That's Cafaro. He was kind of in the middle of a lot of things last night.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah. Jaden Gardner, well. Reese Beekman, a good game. Cavaliers were not great closing last night. A little bit of a surprise. A lot of front-end 1-and-1s, missed, things like that. Mississippi State had the ball with a second and change. They had a shot to send it to overtime. It was nowhere near close, but Virginia advances to meet North Texas.
Does Garrison Brooks have any more years of eligibility so he can transfer somewhere else to lose to Virginia again? Just asking.
Yeah, not a lot of positives when it comes to Garrison and the Cavaliers in his Carolina or Mississippi State.
Never beat him, right?
No.
Hofer.
I think Brian Ives, who got a online on-air shout-out by Jordan Cornette. I think 0-7.
Yeah. Garrison Brooks got a little Ricky Stokes going on, doesn't he? I mean, it seems like he's been playing college hoops for about a decade.
Well, let me get to Wake Forest. I'm going to bring something up for you. Wake Forest was the other ACC team to win last night. The Deacons beat Towson, the Tigers out of the CAA, 74-64. Only five shots. You mentioned this. Only five shots for Alondis Williams.
Alondis Williams scored 6 points. He took five field goal attempts.
Right.
Very out of character.
Dallas Walton, fourth straight double-figure game. Wake Forest will move on. They're going to host VCU this weekend. It was mentioned last night during the broadcast with Derek Jones that both John Curry and Steve Forbes bought 500 general admission tickets last night to allow the students to come be a part of the game. The NIT is a ticket event. I mean, everybody has to pay for tickets. There are no free tickets, no student tickets, whatever the case may be.
That's why we're nowhere to be found.
Yeah, that's it. So Forbes and Curry stepped in and purchased 1,000 student tickets last night out of their own kitties to allow the students to come. They had a pretty good environment last night, Joel Coliseum, for their NIT game.
That VCU game's no joke, though.
Ooh,
that
Saturday
will be, if you like offensive basketball,
right,
in your face, grill time, that's a good game.
That's it.
Whenever they decide to play.
Yeah, so we'll find out about that. We do know Virginia plays North Texas Saturday afternoon out in Denton.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Neil Ivey of Notre Dame joins us. See, look, you didn't think you thought we were kidding when we asked that question back last time, right? You thought we were kidding, didn't you?
That is my perfect theme music. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. First of all, thanks for getting up in Oklahoma this morning. How is suburban Oklahoma City doing out there in Norman today?
It is beautiful. The sun is shining. It's St. Patrick's Day. I'm just thrilled to be here.
Up late watching Bray get it done last night in two overtimes, Coach?
I was. We had a kind of a game watch in the lobby, and it was crazy. I texted him. He texted me back. So I am so excited for Coach Bray and his team.
That was a great effort. And by the way, if you were not wearing green today, I was going to be so disappointed in you. You come out blaring with the green. So you have tied this whole thing together. The only thing that would be better is if you were playing today. I mean, St. Paddy's Day, the Irish going, would have been a no-brainer.
I know. Unfortunately, we're not playing, but I'm going to keep the St. Patrick's Day vibes going on Saturday.
All right.
Well, there's some truth with that. But by the way, I know you like the road trip to Oklahoma, but wouldn't it have been nice be, you know, comfort of home doing this interview as a four seed? I mean, I know there's no need to complain and whine about seeds anymore. You're in the dance. Let's go play. You know who you're playing and everything else. But, you know, every coach we've talked to this week, Coach, from the league, has kind of looked around. Even Wes Moore wondering, hey, we're a one seed and we got to go to Connecticut. Great. The seeding process, I mean, nobody ever seems to be overly thrilled, enjoyed with it. But it did seem like the ACC, especially that five line, could have gotten some more benefits of the doubt, say, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. But also, again, I didn't get a chance to make the tournament last year. So, you know, I kind of talked to my team about embracing this accomplishment from year one to year two. Mm. And, of course, I would have loved to be home with the comfort of my home crowd, but you know, we are excited to keep dancing. This is a competitive region, the ACC. We had eight teams in, and everyone's region is super competitive. So we're excited, and we are prepared, and we're going to be ready.
All right, I want to walk through a little bit of the download on like UMass, and every coach is a little different in the way they kind of dole out this two game tournament, because that's the way most schools approach it. It's like three 2-game tournaments. So when UMass pops up on the line the other night, how fast did you guys dive in, and how much did you process, let's say, in 48 hours on the team you're going to see?
Right. Well, when we saw that it was UMass, saw the seating, saw what the pairings would be, you know, I divided and assigned, you know, the scout to my assistants. We sat down as a staff after the selection show, talked about what we needed to prepare for Monday. We had my video coordinator downloaded a ton of games. So we kind of just waited for him to upload that to our computer, kind of talked about a lot of things we need to work on during the week. And then the next morning we focused on, you know, UMass. I try to find similarities between the teams that we could potentially face. But again, UMass was number one. And then every day we just try to dive into that and focus on their strengths and weaknesses and focus on what we need to do to prepare. But it was a quick turnaround. It was exciting. You know, this is the first time for my staff to do this together. Had the opportunity to do that with Coach McGraw's staff. So I know the process of it. I know how to prepare. So yeah, that first 24 to 48 hours, we were in the office meeting, and I gave them a lot of time to kind of figure out the film and make sure they had the presentation ready.
Coach, it's been kind of cool to listen to coaches this week during this long grind of a season talk about a refreshness, that all of a sudden, hey, it is a new deal. Everybody zip, zip. There's a little bounce in the step. Yeah, it's the tournament. Do you get the same feeling with your team after the ACC tournament that, hey, you knew you were going to be in. Now that you're in, you know where you're going, who you're playing. Did you get a sense of new enthusiasm with your team?
Absolutely. You know, I had an opportunity. They were on spring break, but they stayed. And we had a chance to rest, but then we had a chance to get to work. Yeah, it felt like after the ACC tournament, we had some things that we needed to focus on and fix ourselves. So we did that week. Worked on our fundamentals, worked on a lot of different things that we normally don't have the time to do. And then we had a team dinner. We celebrated the season, and it was exciting to celebrate the individual accolades that the team had, the team accolades, and then, you know, obviously preparing for the selection show. That was just a breath of fresh air. So excited. There's a lot of excitement in South Bend with our fans, our community. So we did get a chance to just really be in the moment, be present, because I feel like as coaches and as teams, you're always trying to look forward to what's coming next, but you never get a chance to really celebrate the present. And we got a chance to do that, so that was really exciting.
Neil, you've got a couple of players here that are really interesting, I think, in this event. First time, like Olivia Miles and Sonia Citron, for sure. But then you've got, like, Maya Dotson, who is kind of the other end of the spectrum. How do you talk to a group? Do you have to spend some time individually with the younger players? You know what the older players, their experience level is. I mean, that's got to be a little tricky this week, doesn't it? Because there's a finality, you know, about this thing that it can be pretty stark when the game starts.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a lot of individual meetings with the younger core and with our position coaches, with myself. And then every moment that we had the team, we talked about and educated and communicated about what the tournament means, the environment, the atmosphere. You know, only Maya and Abby Prohaska have been in the tournament. So We have a lot of youth, a lot of inexperience, but we try to utilize every time we're together with film, with the messaging, with education, communication. We sit down and go through everything, what every day is going to look like, what practice is going to look like. Everything is brand new to half the team. So we're trying as a staff to really navigate that and really communicate and express our experiences. I have an entire staff that has NCAA experience, and we try to, you know, continue and really hone in on that message of, like you talked about, I mean, it is, when you get into the tournament, it's 0-0 and anything can happen. You know, it's March Madness, and we have to try to help them prepare for that. But you never know until you're in it. But we try to do our best to try to communicate that with them.
By the way, you mentioned all that experience. I'm assuming Miss Muffet has made a phone call just from an inspirational standpoint, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely. We're texting. She's, you know, reached out after the selection show. I'll definitely give her a call before Saturday. But she is just my biggest supporter. She's our foundation. She gives me so much energy. I just love her and her guidance and her wisdom.
All right. Now, I joked with you about this, but I'm really kind of serious. One of the first things I looked at when I got the brackets were I wanted to see when Notre Dame played, and then I had to make sure Purdue was not playing at the same time. That's a good thing, right? That's a win.
It is absolutely a win. I would have loved to be within driving distance, but the fact that he's playing on Friday and I'm playing on Saturday, that just makes me so happy. It's after our practice slot, So that was big too. So a lot of things are aligning for us. So I get a chance to support from afar. We're going to have a game watch in the hotel. So I'm excited.
All right. Now be honest. It's going to be hard not being there, isn't it? It's going to be hard.
It's going to be really hard. It's going to be hard. But to be honest, last year I was in the stands because we didn't make the tournament. So this year, you know, I just feel like, you know, this is a blessing. We're both in the tournament. We both left on the same day. It's so many things to be grateful for. So we're both dancing, and that's really what we've dreamt of. And I'm just excited to be dancing with him.
All right. Now, here's the other question I have. Jen Latta did a phenomenal piece. It was great to see you and Jaden in this relationship. And you were very kind to let him ride in the car, and you walk into Mackey Arena. You got your jersey on the whole bit. But I'm curious. We didn't quite get to see, but I thought we were close to seeing you really cut loose in the seats. I feel like if something, a block charge call pack that doesn't go the right way, I get the feeling all the bent up wrath that's held off in the women's game gets cut loose in the seats at Mackey Arena. Am I close on that, Neil?
You are absolutely right. I try to make sure the footage was PG. I'll just tell you that. But there are sometimes the mama bear comes out, my feistiness comes out. There are definitely points where I get a chance to get on the refs as well. They don't know where the voice is coming from, so I can get on the refs. You know, I make sure Jaden hears my voice. But yeah, sometimes you just can't. The competitive juices, they just you have to let them out.
Well, those poor officials, they can't catch a break with cats. You. It doesn't matter if you're on the sideline in the stands. You're like, oh, here goes Ivy again. Do I have to keep listening to this?
I got to tell you what, the Big Ten's going to be thankful for the relief. I mean, Godzilla. Huh?
That's funny.
Oh, wow. Hey, Neil, wish you the best of luck. Please tell the girls that, too. This will be a fun event. We're excited for the ACC, excited for every school to get going in this. And thanks for the time in Norman this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you much. Thank you so much.
You bet. Neil Ivey, head coach at Notre Dame. Her team plays UMass and then would be looking at Lloyd Noble Center against Sherry Cole and four-seeded Oklahoma, who meets IUPUI on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, assuming there's a lot of chalk, those 4 or 5 matchups will be absolute alley fights, all of them.
Yep.
Right? Whether it be Virginia Tech, whether it be North Carolina, whether it be Notre Dame, all three of those teams are 5 seeds on the women's bracket.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, 10 o'clock Eastern coming up right after this is Pro Day, Clemson style, right here on the ACC Network. Jordan Cornette will be there. So will our next guest, Eric McClain. 10 o'clock right here, ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. You'll see Justin Ross, Mario Goodrich, Baylen Spector, just some of the top players that the Tigers are going to work out. Let's go right away, shall we? Let's just go to the Eric McClain indoor facility there on the Clemson campus where we find it's not named. I thought it had your name on it.
Maybe one day way down the road, but not yet. What's up, boys? I miss you guys, man.
What's happening down there in Tiger Town? You keeping Jordan Cornette straight? Hey,
that's right, man. We're getting jacked up. Coaches are just now walking in. It's exciting. It's always fun to be back home, but also an event like Pro Day, when you have your boy Jordan Cornette here. We showed him, right? We showed him Tiger Town. Went over to Rick Irwin's. He told me to tell y'all hello.
Oh,
always frequent flyers
nice.
When you guys are in town, so yeah. We had to treat him right.
Very nice. Could have taken the basketball GA out for a free meal last night.
Rick Irwin's is almost too nice.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick Irwin's is 5-star. Yeah, if you really wanted to break him in, I would have taken him down to the Esso Club and welcomed him to what Clemson South Carolina is really about.
He's been there before, and he's been there on the best day. He's been on Sunday, so you know they have that awesome meet and three. So he's seen the peak of Esso Club. We had to take him over to Rick's to really just settle him in.
How about a little Max drive-in for a double cheeseburger?
Ooh.
No. That's for members only. He's not there yet.
All right, well, again, I just want to break him in slowly but surely. I mean, the smoking pig's a given here in Pendleton. And all things,
that's
but,
right.
You know, Rick Irwin's just fine. That's 5-star.
That's 5-star.
That's right.
Let's get to the details here today. Who's got the most ground to gain? Who can benefit the most from this pro day in your mind?
I don't think there's any question it's Justin Ross. I mean, a guy who, you know, just career has been all over the place, where we saw his first time him on the field freshman season just take the league by storm, take college football by storm, a national championship game where he made people look silly at the highest level and the things that he was able to do. Then, of course, injury has riddled his career a little bit. But just to see him out here running full speed, he wasn't able to participate at the combine. I think he's going to have an exceptional day. He's been walking around already, stretching, warming up. Looks really, really good. He had dinner with the Steelers last night, so something to keep an eye on, you know, early in the second round. Really could see him going as early as that. But, you know, if numbers don't match up with play, it's crazy how much stuff really goes into this. It's such a science at the end of the day that I'll never understand.
Eric, I was asking and telling Pack a little bit during the process that Baylen Specter is an interesting guy for the next level. The speed, there's size questions, there's, you know, obviously some health questions that come up with every player. But his physical gifts and his inside knowledge of the way Clemson played defense intrigues a lot of teams, it seems like.
It absolutely does. And, Wes, when you look at how he plays, the fact that he is so effective rushing the passer, that's what the league is all about, right? Can you have defenders that can do multiple things? So, obviously, can stop the run, but get after the passer as well. We've seen that time and time again. Ran really well at the combine. I doubt he runs the 40 today. Measured in right above 230 pounds. So, you know, a 6'1", 6'2", 230. I think he answered some of those questions at the combine there. And, of course, we saw him at the Senior Bowl, or excuse me, the Shrine Bowl. So the things that he's been able to do, it's all about fluidity today. How does he move? How does he go out here on his home turf where he feels very comfortable? And then the next level, how does that look? The interviews, I think, will be very important for him. Big locker room guy, that's important to teams. Would not be surprised if we see him go early day three.
All right, Eric, here's my question about him. Do you expect in the drills that you guys are going to cover that we see him more with his hand on the ground than people might suspect based on his Clemson career?
No, I think he's not quite big enough for that. If he was about 6'3 and a half, 6'4, then I think that could really be a possibility. With him being right under 6'2, right at 6'2, I just don't think that's as appealing. So he'll be strictly linebacker. And again, just seeing how well does he flip his hips, does he move. It's on tape. The biggest thing about today is, does everything that we watch on film marry the numbers, marry what we see in person here at Pro Day? That's what these scouts and GMs are really looking for.
Eric, I'm switching gears on you. Forget about the pro day a second. I want to talk about spring football. And I'm curious what you have heard or seen since you've been down there. But I've got some buddies down there to tell me that Dabo and company have really, really been impressed with this upcoming 22 group, especially some of the incoming freshmen, wide receiver in particular, in terms of drills. Again, we haven't played any games yet, so keep it totally in perspective. But I've heard that they are really, really excited about what they've seen so far in camp.
Keep it in perspective. You want me to take these orange goggles off real quick? I'm in Clemson. They said I could do that. But I think Randall is a guy, a true freshman. I mean, my goodness, is 6'2", 215, 20 pounds. I mean, rocked up. No question you see him, and it's a grown man. I mean, A.J. Brown, D.J. Metcalf, those are the type of comparisons he's already drawing from his head coach just in regards to how big he is as a receiver. We saw him pull down an unbelievable touchdown catch in the scrimmage yesterday, and guess who threw it? Cade Klubnik, a guy that looked unbelievably sharp, super fine-tuned already as a true freshman. I think he's pushing DJ. I know Jordan said earlier, the way his body looks, the throws that he was able to make, the key for DJ is going to be consistency, building each and every day to be the quarterback that I think everyone expects you to be, who you expect yourself to be. That'll be the most important thing. Defensive line pack, these guys are going to be the best in the country. Brian Brzee, who's going to be the best D tackle in the country, didn't even practice. He's still recovering from some injury there, but just looks like a Greek god. I mean, he's freaky, the things that you see from him. And then the last piece is going to be that offensive line. You know, a couple of injuries, guys getting back, figuring it out. But if they can get both lines of scrimmage to a level that Clemson expects, Clemson will be right back playing for championships.
All right, I know you and Roy Philpott are going to be involved in the spring game coverage that comes up here in about 3 weeks.
Can you believe they did that, Wes? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a nice fit. It's a really good relationship.
That's right. He'll have a couple of boxes so we can be together, but it'll be fine.
That is cold-blooded. Holy cow, that's cold-blooded. All right, so the offensive line is going to be the number one question until they kick it in Atlanta against Georgia Tech, Eric. No matter what happens in the spring, it's going to permeate every Clemson conversation until then, right? And they understand that, I'm guessing.
No, that's right. It absolutely is. And, again, I mentioned those injuries, guys being shuffled around, who's going to play where. Even when you look projecting-wise, you look at McFadden, he's been just a key piece at left tackle. Knowing in the NFL, he's probably going to be a guard. So are we going to try to move him around, get him more comfortable in certain spots? All I can promise you is at the end of the day, the best five are going to be who runs out there. So it's going to be fascinating to see who that ends up being. But Clemson has the bodies. They just have to figure out who's going to run out first.
You know, I want to go to another position group. And I know they lost a ton of experience at linebacker. But it sounds like the guys next man up, maybe more athletic, faster, stronger, a combination of all of the above. Have you seen or heard the same?
Pack, I'm glad you brought that up because that's exactly what I thought yesterday, which is crazy to say after losing a guy like Skowski, who has been an instrumental piece in this defense. Baylen Specter, who we'll see today. But I saw a ton of speed on that field at the linebacker position. And with Trent Simpson moving inside, I think it's tremendous to see what we are from him, the things that he is going to be able to do for this Clemson defense. So I'm right there with you. The athleticism from the linebacker position should be at an all-time high this next season.
Hey, look, is Trenton Simpson going to line up? Because that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know,
that's
Mike.
That's right.
I mean,
freaky,
on.
Man. And a great young man. I mean, that's what's
no
so
question.
Cool. I mean, a guy that is such a warrior on the field, to be as a gentle giant as he is outside of these white lines, that's the way the game should be played.
All right. Thank you very much. We're looking forward 6 minutes away, by the way, from you and Cornette and the extensive coverage of Tiger Pro Day right here on ACC Network. Be well, my man.
Appreciate you guys. Great seeing you.
All right. You bet. Eric McClain, Tiger Pro Day coming up top of the hour. More about who's going next level, and then we'll give you that spring game coverage and all the stuff leading up. Don't forget now, when we kind of pivot now through the spring, people kind of think, well, a lot of basketball. Yes, a lot of basketball, but then first days of the next week, we'll start to get more and more gliding towards spring sports and football and things like that. And we're now to the point where at the end, I think next week, we will launch the rest of the schools and their springs. So we'll have everybody kind of in motion here. Georgia Tech spring game tonight. They'll wrap. That's 6 o'clock on ACC Network, and then they'll come back with two more practices. But everybody else will be kind of in the first half of their spring schedules.
Just think about how cool this time of the year is. I mean, we get the cranking up of March Madness
yep.
for both the men and the women.
Yep.
You got spring football if you're in the mood. Baseball's cranked up. Got mm-hmm. conference series going on. Softball's been out of sight. You got a bunch of 1-2 nationally
yep.
in lacrosse on both the men's and the women's side coming up this week. I mean, it's a great time of the year.
Yep. Only one ACC basketball team in action on the men's side today. That's North Carolina this afternoon against Marquette. About a 4:15, 4:30 start. And then tonight, Sue Semerau is the only ACC women's team in action against Missouri State on the ladies' card.
9 o'clock for the ladies.
That's it.
Florida State.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.